Welcome again to our studies on wisdom literature. Wisdom literature being the two books written by King Solomon, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Proverbs written in the maturity of his life and consist basically of the teachings that he has gleaned from his father, King David, and we shall see this, that King David's admonitions to him are included in this book in the first few chapters, and then also, of course, Solomon's own deliberations. Solomon is credited to be the wisest man that ever lived, and he wrote 3,000 proverbs, and essentially 800 of these are included in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at them, and we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 2. And Proverbs chapter 2 starts off with, "My son." Here is King David speaking to Solomon. And Solomon had the unique privilege of being taught by King David, who was a prophet, priest, and king, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man after God's own heart. And here he is, devoting much of his time to teaching Solomon. You know, King David had many sons. And of one, Adonijah, we're told that David didn't correct him at all. The reason being that Adonijah was not, selected to follow David, but Solomon was. And therefore Solomon received the teaching at the feet of King David. And it starts off here in chapter 2, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words." Now, if thou wilt receive my words, you know, teachers understand this very well indeed, that it doesn't matter what subject you are teaching. You might be in a secular school, you might be in a Christian Sunday school class, you might be a teacher, a minister, teaching hundreds, perhaps thousands of people. But you're always very much aware that though you can indeed teach and expound your subject, there's something that you cannot control. And that is whether or not your congregation, your class, your pupil, or your son or your daughter will indeed receive what you're saying. And so David says, "Look, my son, if thou wilt receive," how important it is to receive good teaching and to appreciate it. And he goes on here, you see, in a very real sense. He said, you know, "Keep my commandments, keep my commandments." This thought of keeping suggests that you have them at the beginning, but you can lose them. And this we're going to see throughout the book of Proverbs, that what you have doesn't mean to say that you'll end up with that. It depends if you keep them, if you treasure them. And so that is his thought here, you see. And so he continues, and he pleads with Solomon, "Incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding." In other words, wisdom and understanding are not something that, you know, you can just listen to for a moment or two and you have it. No, you have to incline, you have to seek out wisdom. You have to apply yourself to it. And he goes on to say this, you see, "If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, You know, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. In other words, some things come very easily in life, but some things have to be sought out, and one has to apply all one's strength and all one's will in getting them. And that is true of wisdom. You see, wisdom, we shall see later on, is far greater than rubies, far greater than silver, far greater than gold, and anything that thou canst desire cannot compare with wisdom. And therefore, you see, wisdom isn't something that you just, well, receive like that, but you have to apply yourself. And then, what do you get? Well, you will understand the fear of the Lord. Now, in Isaiah 33 and verse 6, the prophet says this, wisdom, knowledge, understanding shall be the stability of your times. The stability of your times. And we're entering the last days, and we're seeing on every hand financial institutions failing, law enforcement not being able to subdue terrorism and the like. We're seeing trouble on every hand. In other words, people's hearts are failing them because of that which they perceive everywhere. But the Word of God says this, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. In other words, if you have wisdom and you have knowledge of the ways of God, then you will be strong and stable, like a tree, you know, planted by rivers of living water. You know, it stands erect, and doesn't matter what the storms are like, it remains. And I remember in Switzerland, outside my room, I could see it through the window, a tremendous oak tree that had survived winter after winter. The ferocious Swiss storms could not bring it down. And God said, I want to make you like that. And God wants to make you like that. You see, a tree that can withstand all the storms. But what is the key? Well, that tree, you know, likened to a person, be rooted and grounded in righteousness, and be filled with wisdom and knowledge. It gives stability. And that's what God wants to give to you. But Isaiah 33 verse 6 continues. And what does it say? And it says the fear of the Lord is his treasure. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So therefore the fear of the Lord is a treasure that comes from God and is given to those who will earnestly seek wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to live cautiously. You know, in Isaiah 11, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says this, thou wilt make him of quick scent in the fear of the Lord. And what does that mean? Essentially, it means this, that a person who has the fear of the Lord and has it well developed in his life will know and feel, you know, anything that displeases God and quickly change his course. Well, that is what is promised here, you see. And then it continues, for the Lord giveth wisdom. The Lord giveth wisdom. Well, whom does the Lord give wisdom to? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26 makes this awesome statement. For God giveth wisdom, knowledge, and joy. to those who please him. Now, wisdom is not given just to anybody. The fool can seek wisdom and will not receive it. But those that please God, those that live righteously, shall indeed receive his wisdom. And it continues, you see. And what does wisdom do? Well, God lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, and the Lord keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. And we're going to see that later on as we go into Proverbs, but you know, it's easy to fall in life. But you see, if you live with God, he preserves your way. He prevents you from falling. He is able to present you faultless and without falling before the face of his Father. See, the key is to please God, to choose those things that please him. And in so doing, we will receive them. And one of the fruits of wisdom is to be preserved by God from falling into sin. Well, we shall continue. And it says, you know, in so doing, we shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good thing. We shall understand those things. How many people lack understanding and don't comprehend the purpose of life? It's because they have not sought wisdom. And so when wisdom enters into the heart of a person, well, you know, that person gets understanding. And then it says, discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion. How would we describe discretion? Well, I would describe it the way I've been describing the fear of the Lord. Cautious living. Discretion is to consider a movement before one makes it. And where that movement is going to lead one. If only we will do that, we will be saved from many sorrows in life. You know, being a pastor, we meet people throughout the world who have fallen into one difficulty after another. But when one speaks to them, one realizes that, you know, it wasn't the will of God that they fell into these situations. They fell into these snares. They had these sorrows. But the reason they did was because they did not exercise wisdom before they walked down a certain path and made a decision. And it was their wrong decisions that brought them such sorrow. But had they have been walking with God and asking God to direct their paths, they would never have made those mistakes. And I am of the opinion that, you know, so much in life is self-induced. So many errors occur because people do not ask God. Well, we continue here. And we see this, that wisdom will deliver. Now, this is very important. Will deliver from the man who walks in an evil way, who has left the path of righteousness. You know, when you talk to people, as pastors do, you know, it's amazing how many people were brought up knowing the truth. They were brought up having been well instructed, often attending Sunday school, where they were taught the Word of God. Often as a teenager, there they were in church, But something happened, and they lent an ear to young people perhaps outside, and they turned from the path of righteousness. They turned from the path of righteousness. Now, there's a maxim that I'd like to mention here. And it essentially is this, that I have seen when a person leaves a path of righteousness, they are not content to just leave it alone and walk at that lonely path, but they seek to draw others of their friends who are in church along that same path. I have seen people that have committed adultery, and they try and talk their friends into doing so at the same time. It's a sad thing, a tragic thing. I've seen young girls leave the path of righteousness, get pregnant, have children, and try and induce their friends to do the same thing, and often quite successful in doing so. But we're told that wisdom will preserve us from the man who indeed turns into the evil way. And then, of course, you see there is the woman. And in the book of Proverbs, we are presented with two women, basically. One is called the strange woman, and the other is called the virtuous woman. And she is found essentially in Proverbs 31. But this strange woman, you see, is not someone on the outside. Someone who has never heard of the ways of God. Oh no, the strange woman, as you look in the book of Proverbs, is actually someone who knows the ways of God, who has been in church and who has left those ways. You know, to deliver thee from the strange woman, from the stranger that flattereth with her words. Now look at this. In verse 17, which forsaketh the path of her youth. Forsaketh the path of her youth. You know, John Wesley made this point. He said, don't underestimate sin in church. You go to church, you think, oh, everybody is a saint. Everybody is lifting up their hands, praising God, or else diligently, sanctimoniously listening to the pastor. Yes, that might be the outward appearance, but afterwards, how do they behave? You see, look, this strange woman, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, you can't forget something that you have never received. And so this strange woman is one who has experienced perhaps the born-again joy, blessing, of being a child of God. She has forsaken the covenant of her God. And what would that mean? Undoubtedly, when she was young, in her youth, she opened up her heart to God to receive Christ as her Savior. And then she foolishly listened to others and turned aside. And you see, the trouble is, you see, she remains in the church to beguile others. That's one of the things that one has to understand. A righteous person, you know, cannot live alone. He has to proclaim righteousness, godliness, holiness to others. He has to seek to bring others into the pathway of righteousness, to bring people in to the pathway of salvation. There's something, if you have something, you want others to have it. And that's one of the joys and privileges of a Christian, that we have received Christ as our Savior, and we cannot be content with just keeping that joy to ourselves. No, we have to proclaim the good news to others. But in the same way, you see, when a person has that joy and has that privilege and then loses it, forsakes it, there is a void which is filled with evil. And you know, the message and the ministry, if I could say this, of Satan and his angels and his demons is indeed to draw others into their sinful ways. Their whole purpose is to deceive and bring people into the misery that they themselves are experiencing, the torture that they themselves are experiencing. I mean, you talk, well, perhaps you don't, but anyway, you know, sometimes pastors, you know, are confronted with demon-possessed people and you speak to them and you'll find that those demons will answer you back and say, well, our goal is to bring people away from the paths of salvation and bring them into the pit where we are. Well, that is the goal. See, the goal of Christ and his saints is to bring people into the pathway of righteousness. But when people leave the pathway of righteousness, then they are filled with evil, and that evil cannot abide alone. It seeks to draw others aside. And you see, this is what indeed the theme of this chapter is, that if we get wisdom, we will be protected from the strange woman, the evil man in the congregation. And so you see, wisdom preserves. Wisdom preserves us going astray. And I've seen, you know, and I've just heard actually yesterday, you know, in another country, somebody having a cell group, and a lady actually having a cell group of girls, and, you know, weepingly saying to my secretary, oh, I've seen girl after girl leave, marrying an unbeliever, leaving to go into sin, and though warned, they're drawn aside by those who have already left. So it's a very solemn thought. And that is why, you see, wisdom is so important. Wisdom will keep a person, from those terrible tragedies of those who have left the pathway and seek to induce others to follow. Well, how does this chapter end up? Well, it says this, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. And so you see, if we seek to do that which is right, God will permit us to remain in his house. Oh, you say anybody can go to church? Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 they can't. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. He that committeth sin is the servant of sin. If you commit sin, you are serving sin. You are serving sin. He dominates you. He controls you. He controls your actions and so forth. You serve him. All right. He that committed sin is a servant of sin. The Lord said it. All right. Now then, the next step is this. And Jesus said, the servant shall not remain in the house forever. And those that commit sin you know, having known the way, well, they'll be given an opportunity to repent. But look what the Word of God says, the last verse of chapter 2. Look what it says. But the wicked, you see, shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be taken out of it. Oh no. There you've got the two testimonies of King David talking to Solomon and the Lord dealing with the scribes and Pharisees. No, you can't just go to church. I've had people who've said, after they've committed sin and transgressed terribly, they said, oh, we'll be back. They never get back. They never get back. Oh, beloved, a righteous life lived under the guidance and covering of wisdom will ensure that you remain in the household of God, will ensure that you remain on the pathway of righteousness. But if not, you'll be taken out of his house and cast away with the hypocrites. Oh, seek wisdom, seek understanding. They will preserve you. God bless you.